I'm Darren, and I'm one of the pastors here at Focus 314. And I just got to tell you, man, I am just stoked to be here this morning. I love the series that we're getting ready to go through. Philippians, we're talking about joy. That is the main theme of Philippians, the book that we're going through right now. And it's going to be such a joy-filled message today. So why don't you go ahead and turn to your Bibles. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to Philippians chapter 2. Or if you have your mobile device, you can go ahead and open up the YouVersion app, which is a great app, and you can follow along with the notes right along with that app that you have right there. And so as you're doing that, one thing that I want to do is I just want to be able to say, man, it was so great to be able to hear Pastor Jonathan, wasn't it, last week? He did such a great job. Show him your love. Come on. Absolutely. We are blessed to have him here. He's just an amazing part of the team, and I'm so excited to have you here. But another one, too, that I want to be able to talk about is this, is that just this past week, we're starting a new ministry called Celebrate Recovery, and it's a recovery process, it's a discipleship process, and who's overseeing that is Pastor James. He's our discipleship pastor, and he's overseeing the Celebrate Recovery ministry that we have. Well, the thing is that what's really cool is that Pastor James is actually... he's the state representative for Celebrate Recovery. So he oversees the entire state, which is so cool that he's part of our church and he does that. Yeah. Well, just this past week, they had a big summit for nationwide for Celebrate Recovery. And during that summit, our very own Pastor James was just announced as the state representative of the year for the Mountain Region. Woo! Isn't that amazing? You got a standing ovation from one person.
Thank you, Chris.
I'm going to do it. I don't matter what you guys do. I'm going
to. That's so great. Man, we're just blessed beyond belief to have such an amazing couple, James and Renee, part of our church. And they're just giving everything that they can and believe in what we're doing out here. And so it's great to be able to have them here. So we're talking about joy. And as we're going through this, and the question that I have is for you is this. How many of you would love to desire more from life? Anybody here desire to have more from life? Yeah, absolutely. Well, maybe the better question would be, if we're really honest with ourselves, is that maybe right now, maybe you're feeling like, I'm getting a kick in the teeth from life right now. Anybody being honest with you, you can say, yeah, I'm feeling like I'm getting a kick in the teeth. Yeah, so we got five brave souls. Way to go, guys. You guys are awesome. Because I think that if we're all honest with ourselves, the reality is this, is that there are seasons that we go through in our life that really get us down. Each and every single one of us go through a season of time where we are depressed, where things are really coming after us, and we just think, man, life is really hard right now. Even the most joyful person is going to have a season in their life where they're feeling like, man, this is just really difficult right now. And for the next 3 weeks, if you're finding yourself on that point, if you were brave enough to raise your hand, or even if you weren't, but you're going through a tough season, I believe that the next 3 weeks, that today and following, that these are key for you. And it's going to be life-changing for you, the principles that we're going to go through in Philippians. And even if you're not in that season, you're going to get the tools to combat those seasons that you go through. And so my hope through this is that each and every single person here right now, or listening on a podcast at some future point, will have a more joy-filled life going forward.
Right.
Anybody ready for a more joy-filled life? There you go. Now I see some hands. Everybody say joy.
Joy.
That's what I'm talking about right now. Now here's the thing is that we know this. When we follow Jesus in our life, the greatest miracle that can happen, the greatest miracle that we can ever see is the salvation of our very own souls.
Right.
That when we take the opportunity to follow him and make the decision that he is Lord of our life, man, our life just becomes better.
Right.
Because we know this, that it's not just eternity that Jesus came, but he came for us right here and right now. Amen. Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven so often, and it wasn't some future kingdom, it was right here and right now for us. John 10:10 says this, that the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. But I, Jesus, have come to give you life and give it to you in
abundance.
That's what I'm talking about right now. How can you not say abundance without having a smile on your face? Right? It's abundance. That's a nice word. I love that word. Life is so much better. As you can tell, I did not preach last week, and so I'm ready to get going. Anybody hear me? That's what I'm talking about right now. It's time to wake up, church. It's time to be able to say joy. Everybody say joy.
Joy.
We're going to have a good time in church today. Jesus has come to give you an amazing life. He has come to give you joy in your life.
Amen.
But it didn't just stop with Jesus. Because see, the moment came in Acts 1 when he ascended into heaven after he had died and resurrected, that he hung out with his disciples, and over 500 people saw him afterwards. And he said to his disciples, it is time for me to go, but when I go, I am going to send another, and he is going to comfort you. That's the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so when we make the decision, when we make the decision to follow Jesus, that the Holy Spirit comes inside of our life and he resides inside of us. And when we make that choice, we can have the Holy Spirit guide and direct our life. And when he guides and directs our lives, then there's a byproduct in our life. Something happens that we are guided and directed by the Holy Spirit. And that byproduct is explained in Galatians 5 as the fruit of the Spirit. It's what our life exceeds. It's what our life shows. That's the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, 22, 23 gives us the fruit of the Spirit, which is this. Love. How many want love in their life?
Amen.
Joy. Peace and patience. Kindness. Goodness. Self-control. These are part of your life. See, the Holy Spirit didn't come to just guide us into eternity. He came to give us life right here in abundance. We have the choice to have a joy-filled life. Everybody say joy.
Joy.
Come on, this is so good. Philippians 4:4. This is our theme verse through this entire series. This is a verse that I want to encourage you and challenge you to memorize. Put it into this memory bank because this is so important. Philippians 4:4 says this. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes, right? Rejoice in the Lord when things are good. Rejoice in the Lord when?
Always.
I will say it again, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Not when things are just going well. Not when things are just are fine and dandy. Not when good things are coming our way. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again. Rejoice. We have established this, that we want to talk about joy. That God wants to give us a joy-filled life. That the Holy Spirit wants to give us a joy-filled life. That Jesus has come to give us a joy-filled life. But the reality is this. Is that we know that life is not always full of joy.
No.
That there are joy killers out there, aren't there? There are joy killers. And so what I want to do is I want to be able to establish what those joy killers are. So we have the tools to prepare ourselves when those joy killers come our way, that we have the tools to combat it, right? And so we're going through Philippians chapter 2, and Paul gives us the example of what those joy killers are. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, and he's going to be able to give it to us right now. Philippians 2 verse 3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. I'm going to tell you what the joy killer is in your life. Are you ready for this? It's you. That's it. It is you. You have the power. You have the choice and the attitude if you're going to live a life of joy or right. If you're not going
right,
to.
Right.
Paul tells us, do nothing out of vain conceit or selfish ambition. And you could say, oh, that's not me. I'm not that selfish. I'm not trying to just get everything that I can out of this world. You know, that's not the way that I live. But I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. Take a moment and do some self-reflection. And look at the way you live your life and the language that you use. And really see if you are full of selfishness. I got to tell you. There are so many times in my life that I fall into this trap as well. That I'm thinking just about me and myself. When it's all about me. Look at your language. Sometimes we might say to ourselves, I don't feel joy in my job. My job is not satisfying to me. I don't feel joy there. Like it's your boss's responsibility to make you happy. Like it's his responsibility to see the value that you bring to an organization and not your responsibility to make sure that this world cannot function without you, right? It's not your boss's responsibility. Or maybe do this. I'm just not happy in my marriage. I'm not happy in my marriage. Like it's your spouse's job and responsibility to make sure you're happy.
Whoa.
They're your spouse, not your circus clown. See, sometimes we think it's all about us, right?
Right.
Or maybe this one. You know, I'm just not happy in my church right now. I'm just not being fed. Which I have to tell you is one of the saddest things I could hear a mature Christian say. Like it's the church's responsibility to feed you once a week.
Wow.
You're supposed to live daily on the word of God.
Right.
And realize that Sunday morning is a time for you to serve other people.
Amen.
Not all about you. See, the reality is this, is that the joy in our life, the biggest one, is you. It's you. Do nothing out of selfish ambition.
Right, right.
Do nothing out of vain conceit. This world does not revolve around us. It's time for us to be able to get past ourselves. It's time for us to realize that it's not just about me. Let me give you an example of this. So when I was in, I was just starting into ministry. I was a youth pastor, and I had a really good friend of mine. Great friend of mine today. We talk 2 to 3 times a week. He's just killing it at a church in Clarksville, Tennessee, and just a booming church. And he is just such a dear friend of mine right now. We went to seminary together, and we just loved life. We were living life together, and so we were going to church. And then I was on staff of the church, and then pretty soon he became on staff of the church. I was the youth pastor, and he was the college and young adult pastor there at that church. And as soon as he came on staff, I hated him. I am not even joking with you, man. That, like, you think that's a really strong word. It was a strong emotion that I felt, all right? It really was. Because it felt like everything that he did, it was all about him. It was all about what he wanted, his agenda. He kind of overran staff meetings and everything like that. And I was just, I couldn't stand going to work. I couldn't stand going to church because I had to be around this guy. And it was just driving me bonkers. It really was. And he was the joy killer in my life. So there was a breakfast. I don't know what it was, what day or anything like that. But I was going out to breakfast with my mentor. And I'm sharing with him all of my frustrations and how bad this guy is, you know? And he just needed to leave the ministry and leave the city and just be done with him, right? That's how I felt at that time. And he looked at me, and I'm going to tell you, these are the words that just cut me so quick. He said to me this. He said, "Why would you allow him to have that much power?"
Right, right.
It was my choice on how I was going to respond to him. It was my choice on if I was going to have joy as I went to work every single day. It was my choice on if I was going to have joy when I saw him. It didn't matter what he was going to do. It was my choice. Let me tell you something. It is your choice if you don't feel joy when you go to work every single day. It is your choice how you're going to respond to your boss. It is your choice how you're going to respond to your spouse and the words that they speak to you. It is your choice on if you're going to have joy in your life or not. The attitude is yours to make. I pray that you will be guided and directed by the Holy Spirit and not be full of selfish ambition or vain conceit. It is your choice. I'm glad that my mentor said those words to me because it helped me get past that moment. It helped me so much to realize that this is a good person. And I get to say now that he is a great friend of mine today. And that is my hope for you as well and my prayer for you. Remember our key verse, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The reality is this, is that it is our choice. We have the ability inside of ourselves to think what we want. Your thoughts don't take you captive. Instead, 1 Corinthians tells us to take captive of all of those thoughts. I said 1 Corinthians, I apologize. 2 Corinthians, take captive of every single one of those thoughts in obedience to Christ. It is your choice on how you are going to respond to people. See, now we know what joy killers are. We realize that it is our choice on how we are going to move forward. So what we want to do is we want to be able to look further at what Paul tells us will give us joy. We want to see what joy will give us and what kind of life that we need to live to have joy inside of our lives. And Paul doesn't just stop by telling us what joy killers are. He gives us two key attributes that we're going to go over this morning. Two key attributes to give us a life full of joy. Everybody say joy this morning.
Joy.
You ready for joy?
Yeah.
Let's live a life of joy. And we're going to break down Philippians 2, 3 through 8 this morning. And it says this: do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, there you go. Rather, meaning this is how you need to live life instead. Don't live life this way. Rather, live it this way. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Continuing on. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Let me tell you something. They're working hard back there. She's double-clicking like crazy. I wanted to go lower. I know it is because they told me that. There it is again. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. What we want to learn is how to imitate Christ.
Right.
How did Christ live his life, and how did he have joy inside of his life? Two key attributes. The first one that we need to realize is this, is that life is not about us, but it's all about others. It's all about others. It's not what I can get. It's not all about me. That is the joy killer. We want to have a life full of joy. We realize that it's all about others.
Yep.
Philippians 2, 3 through 4. We'll go down and break this. We're going to exegete two key things out of this passage that we just read. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of
others.
Others. It's all about other people. Life is not about me. Life is about the people that are surrounding me and me giving of myself to them. It's so counterintuitive to our own nature, isn't it? That is not how we live life. That's not how we're born. You guys know that have kids or have had kids in the past that were little. You know how selfish they are, right? I got two little rowdy boys that are awesome, and when they're fighting, I know it's because one wants a book that the other one didn't have, right? It's like, everything's got to be the same. Everything's got to be fair. I know this. When I go get ice cream, I'm getting two different ice creams, you know? You know that because it's so counterintuitive. We don't think about other people. It's all about us. That's how we are born into this world, and we have to learn how to think about other people. There's a very special moment in our culture that really exemplifies this thing right here. It's a very special moment. Some of you consider it a holiday. Some of you consider it a day of despair. Some of you celebrate it. Some of you hide away. And that day is called Black Friday. Yeah. You want to talk the epitome of selfish ambition, right? I mean, it's all about, I got to get that TV for $50. I don't even need that TV, but I need it because it's only $50. And then we hear stories about people getting trampled, right? We hear stories about these fights that break out and all of this craziness. Man, if there's one day that exemplifies that it's all about me and what I can get, it's Black Friday. It is. We realize this, that it is inside of our nature to live like it's just about us. But we need to be counterintuitive, we need to be countercultural, and learn that life is about others. There's a story that goes in John chapter 13. And it's the moment of the Last Supper. And we just celebrated communion, and we partook of that together. But as the meal was going on, there's kind of this argument that is taking place. And so Jesus, well, the argument's a different thing, but Jesus begins to do something that is completely counterintuitive and countercultural to that time right there. See, at this time, they're living in a place where most of the shoes that are worn are sandals. And they live in a very arid, dry place, much like what we are right now. And so when you combine those two things, your feet are going to get dirty. It's like if all of us went hiking in the Superstition Mountains and we're wearing sativas, right? You know, that's what their feet would be like. And so when you would sit down to a meal, that most of the time, the lowliest of servants would come and would wash your feet. That's disgusting. That is just flat nasty, washing somebody's corn-filled feet, man. I don't want that job. I want somebody else to do that job. Anybody want that job? No, exactly. Well, here's the reality, is that at that moment, there wasn't a servant to be able to do it. And none of the disciples stepped up to do that as well. So Jesus, being humble as he was, he went and he grabbed the basin, and he grabbed the towel, and he began to go one by one, washing the disciples' feet. And he gets to Peter, and Peter says this. He's like, you're not washing my feet, Jesus. You know, you are exalted high above. You're not washing my feet. And Jesus says, I need to do this, because if I don't, then you won't have any part of me. And what he was doing at that moment was giving them the example of how to live their life.
Right.
To not exalt themselves and not feel like they had to be exalted, but in humility to serve those around him. Matthew 20, 28, he says it this way. He says it right here. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve.
Mm-hmm.
That life is all about others. If we want to have a joy-filled life, we need to be imitators of Christ and understand that we're not supposed to be served, but we are here to serve others. When was the last time that you lived your life that way? When was the last time that you said, you know what, I want to be counterintuitive, countercultural, and I want to think about other people before myself? When was the last time that we talked about our Serve Saturday, which we go up to Glen Rose in the middle of Phoenix, and you thought to yourself, you know what, I need to give of myself on a Saturday morning and help some people that are really in need, that don't have food, who don't have clothing, and I'm going to go and help them and pass that out and be able to give the message of Jesus to them? Or when was the last time that you came to church and you said, you know what, it's not all about me on this day. I need to get out of my seat and onto my feet and help serve people on a Sunday morning? Or when was the last time that you said, you know what, I feel a prompting in my spirit to go help pull weeds out of my neighbor's yard? That seems completely counterintuitive, right? I don't even want to pull weeds out of my own yard, let alone my neighbor's. Or maybe you feel the Holy Spirit just saying, you know what, you need to take this person out to lunch. You don't know why, but you just feel like you need to serve them. And then you find out that life is just crashing around them. That you realize that life is not all about me.
Right.
It's about other people.
Yeah.
It's about those around me and how God wants me to bless them.
Yes.
We aren't called to be served. We are called to serve. How do we live a life full of joy? We understand that it's all about others. We also understand this. It's all about God.
Mm-hmm.
Life is all about God. It's not about me. It's not about my selfish ambitions, but it's me being completely and utterly dedicated to God. That I love him with my whole heart, my whole soul, and my whole mind. I give him 100% of myself, that it's all about God. It's how Jesus lived. Look, Philippians 2, 5 through 8 says this. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. No, it was all about God. It was all about pointing to people towards the Father. He wasn't trying to exalt himself. He was pointing people towards the Father. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to God the Father, even to death. Because he realized that his life wasn't just about him. He could have, at the blink of an eye, spoke the word, and he could have reigned over everything, but that wasn't the plan that
right.
God had.
Right.
No, instead, the plan was is that we have the free will inside of ourselves to make a choice. The choice to love Jesus, the choice to follow him, the choice to imitate him, love God so much that we want to spend eternity with him. That he is the Lord and Savior of our life. And so he, who could have done whatever, said, I'm not going to exalt myself. Instead, I'm going to make the choice to point towards the Father. Philippians 2:13 says this. It says, for God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Everybody say good.
Good.
Isn't that so much better than bad? God wants to act in your life. He has a good purpose for your life. And even if it feels like you're going through a season that is very difficult, financially things are really tough right now. Relationally, it feels like things are getting ripped apart. And you're just like, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. He has a good purpose for you. That you can step out and you can follow his purpose because it's good. He wants to give you good gifts. Who is God? Who is God? He is not man that he should lie. Who is God? He is not man that he should say he's going to act and then not do it. He is God who wants to have a good purpose in your life. Life is all about God. Utterly and completely devoted to him.
Right.
You know, just recently we had such a cool blessing in our life. My wife and I, and when we were first married, we bought a house the way that you're supposed to, you know, like one of those little small fixer-uppers, and you kind of work your way up, you know, just like what the American plan is supposed to be, right? You start small, and then you get to sell it, and you make some money, and then you take that money, and you put it down towards the next house, and you'd be able to kind of go from there, right? You know, and you get that chunk of money, and that's how it's supposed to work. It's real estate, right? Well, unfortunately for us, we bought a house in 2007. And then God, in 2010, called us to move from Springfield, Missouri, down to Dallas, Texas. In 2010, I think you guys know what happened, right? Some of you walked that same path with us that we saw the market just crash. And so any kind of money that we thought we were going to make, that wouldn't happen. It wasn't happening. And in fact, we had to go through a short sale of that house. Lost money. Just seeing it just bleed out of the bank account. What is going on? And we could have had a moment where we just said, you know what, we throw our hands up. This is ridiculous, God. I'm going to go crumbling. I'm going to be mad at you. I can't believe that this happened. And we had to live in apartments and duplexes and small little homes. And we could have just been so mad, you know, right? Woe is us. Woe is us, because it didn't work out for us. But God had a good purpose. God had a good purpose and a plan for our life and a path that we were going to walk through. And so when God called us to Phoenix, Arizona, when we moved down here in the first weekend of June of 2013, we didn't realize that we were moving down here the very same weekend that Eastmark broke ground in this area. And just 2 weeks ago, my wife and I just signed a contract that we're going to be building a house out in Eastmark. And it's amazing and it's awesome. And God has a good purpose for us. God has a good purpose for us, and we get to see it come through, and we're excited. We're just pumped up because we get to see that good purpose come through. Now, that didn't happen when we sold that house at a short sale. It could have been so easy for us to just been mad, been angry, been grumbling, to have a bad attitude. I can't believe that this is what we've got to do. The choice was ours. And so enjoy. We kept following him. We just kept thanking him for having a roof over our head. Even if it was small, even if it didn't have granite countertop, whoop-de-doo, right? We were just following God because we know the joy. We know the joy and the abundant life that he has given us. And so even if you're going through that tough moment right now, even if you're going through that situation where it feels like everything's crashing around you, I want you to know this. There is a good purpose.
Amen. Yes.
There is something that God is doing in your life. And you don't see it right now. You don't know how it's going to come through. There's a good purpose. Trust his good purpose. That his promises are true and always. And that he is going to come through it. And he is going to know the moment. And you're going to see. I can't believe that life worked out this way. Because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Most painful and agonizing thing that you could imagine. Not because of the physical pain that he was going through, but because he knew that God was going to turn his face from him. He knew that the God that he was with, God the Son right there, that God the Father could not see all of the sin that he was going to take on himself. The sin of the world that he was going to take, and God had to turn his face from him. The pain that he had to endure that, he did it because of the joy set before him. He knew the good purpose that God had. God has a good purpose for you.
Right.
God has a purpose for you. How do you live a life full of joy? Understanding it's all about God.
Mm-hmm.
Here's our big takeaway for the day. Joy is a choice. And that choice begins with Jesus.
Amen. Right.
Your joy begins when you follow Jesus and you give him your whole heart. And that's what he wants. He doesn't want much. He just wants all of you. He just wants you to be able to give him your all. And life, in a way that you never knew existed, is yours. Joy is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
My prayer for you this morning is that you would choose joy. James 4:10 says this, that if we humble ourselves before the Lord, if we choose to deny ourselves and not have it be all about me, but if we humble ourselves before the Lord, that he will lift us up. He will lift us up. He will give us joy. Can you pray with me this morning? I'm just going to ask everybody to go ahead and close your eyes. Because I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you that even if you didn't raise your hand and say, this is a tough season that I'm going through, I want to pray for you that you could have joy in your life and that you could choose joy. And just as we heard this morning, to understand that joy starts with Jesus and the choice to have Jesus in our life. And so I want to give you that opportunity to choose joy. I want to give you the opportunity to choose Jesus.
Yes.
So if that's you this morning, that you're saying, you know what, I haven't had joy in my life, and I know it's because I have not chosen Jesus. I know that I have not chosen to be guided and directed by him. And maybe I've made that choice in the past, or maybe I've never made it before, but you're saying right now, I need joy and I need Jesus. And if that's you, I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to make a big spectacle about it. I just want you to just slip your hand up in a very nice way. Just make eye contact with me just so that I can see you and acknowledge you. And I want to pray for you.
Right.
And if that's you this morning that you're saying, yes, I want to choose joy in Jesus, I see you right there.
All right.
Absolutely.
Amen.
If you just want that, go ahead and just slip up your hand right now. I want to choose joy. I want to choose Jesus. I need him in my life. Just one more moment. I'm going to pray that each of us can have a changing in our attitude, that we can choose joy,
right,
and choose the way that we look at life. I'm going to pray for us that we would begin to have an attitude of serving others. That's not all about us. And most importantly, we can understand that it's all about God this morning. Let's pray that together. Lord Jesus, I pray for the individual to raise their hand to choose you. Lord God, I pray that you will give them strength to follow you no matter what. To give them strength no matter what life is throwing at you, Lord Jesus, that they will choose you each and every single day. Paul tells us that he picks up his cross daily to follow you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that's exactly what they will do. Pick up your cross daily. Lord, I pray for this entire church right now, that we will have a changing in our attitudes, to understand that this world is not about but it's about other people. Lord Jesus, I pray for the attitude in each side of us, that we will have the attitude to be able to serve you with our whole heart, our whole soul, and our whole mind. That this will be a church that is completely and utterly focused upon you. God, I pray for our attitudes and our choices every day. Not just for today, but tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, that we choose joy in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Isn't God good, church? Woo.